Let's open in prayer, shall we? Father, we just love you. And God, I promise to keep this short prayer. But we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you for the gift of this brand new day. We come, I hope we've come with hearts full of expectation, ready to see, just to see what you will do in our midst. And Lord, I pray that our hearts be open to receive your love and to open our ears to hear your voice clearly. Stir our faith, ignite our worship, and let your spirit move freely in this place today, God. We believe that you have something fresh for us today. And we give you all the glory in advance. And we pray this in your son's mighty name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Now, today's going to be a little bit different because I don't normally create sermons based on a song. But every now and then, you ever find those songs every now and then that just, they hit so heavy in you that they stay, right? Anybody ever been there? Is it just me? Right? It stays with you and it won't let go. And one day I was driving back from Great Falls. I was at a hospital visit and I was driving back and I was listening to this song by David Crowder called Dash. And that was one of those songs that just hit me right in the soul. And I found myself just weeping, which makes driving kind of difficult. But I just over and over and over again. And it was just, I believe that the Holy Spirit was just stirring that in me. Because it offers a powerful, powerful reminder that life is short. Right? Life is short. And how we live this life matters. And anybody ever heard that song? Just a couple of us? Well, you're lucky day. We're going to put it up on the screen, and it's going to have the lyrics and the singing along with it. And I just want you guys to experience it so you can understand where I'm coming from today. Is that all right? Yeah. Craig, let it rip. Crank it up.
Sunday morning preacher said, life's a mist, it's just a breath. We're only here for a little while. He talked about his daddy's grave. He'd read 1910 to 98, but the years between were just a little line. Got me wondering what I'm chasing. Don't want another minute wasted. There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? I could take this life and live it well. I could keep on living it for myself. What's it gonna say when it calls me up? Was I just words or was I love? Did I love great or just good enough? I just hope he says well done. Don't want another minute wasted. There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? Hey. What on earth am I doing?
Hey. Cause real life's in the trenches, not from the stands and our lofty benches with manicured hands. I want a dash that's dirty, a life fully spent, weathered and scarred from all the life that I lived. The times that we go out of our way to paint beautiful blue over somebody's grave. When we stopped and defended injustice, or sanded the heart of a friend that got rusted. I don't know my number or year that'll pass. From this cold world to the kingdom that lasts. But carpe diem, it's worth it to live it, not blur it. Or years could fly by and you still ain't met purpose.
There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between, there's just a dash.
It's one of those songs, I don't know about you, but it just stirs something inside of me personally. And, you know, thinking about just 2 weeks ago, we were shaken by another heartbreaking school shooting in our nation. And the same day, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And these are heartbreaking, and these tragedies are painful reminders that life is fragile, right? It's fragile and it's unpredictable. We don't know how long we have on this planet. We don't know. The Bible even says that we don't know. We don't know how long we have. We could walk out of here and get ran over by a car. We don't know. There was another famous pastor that just 56 years old died of medical complications this last week. I mean, 56, that's the new 40, right? That's not old. I'm 55. I'm not old most days. There are some days that my body reminds me that I beat it up too much. But we don't know how long we have, and sometimes lives are cut short in ways that no one could have anticipated. And it's moments like that that force us to ask urgent questions, like, what are we doing with the time that God has given us? What are we doing? Did you know that your life is a gift from God? It's not yours, but His. Did you know that? It is a gift from God. Are you living it intentionally, or are you just coasting through? Are you investing in what really, really matters in life? Are you leaving a legacy of faith and love and purpose? Or are you living it in a selfish way? Now, I wish that there was such a thing as this time portal that I could get us all to step through and take us to the middle of a cemetery where we're standing in the middle of all these gravestones, rows and rows of gravestones. We could drive out there. We could do a field trip, but it would really be hard to keep the flow of service. And there's no such thing as this portal that we can do this thing. So I have an image that I put on the screen. Go ahead, Craigie, put it on there. Gravestone. One day, every one of us will have one of these. Your name will be on it, the day you were born and the day you passed. Right? Common theme in all headstones, similar pattern. And the date of birth, date of death. But what really stands out is that small dash in between those two dates. That tiny dash, that tiny line. Holds an entire lifetime. An entire lifetime. Every joy, every sorrow, every relationship, every decision, every triumph, every failure. It's all contained in that little line. That's our life. And Dave Crowder captures it so well with the lyrics of this song. Starts out, Sunday morning, preacher said, life's a mist, it's just a breath. We're all here for just a little while. He talked about his daddy's grave. It read 1910 to 98, but the years between were just a little line. Got me wondering what I'm chasing. Got me wondering. I don't want another minute wasted. The Bible is very clear that there's a day that you are born and a day you will pass. You will not live one day longer or one day shorter. There will be a day every one of us will have. And in between that is just a dash. What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. It doesn't feel like I should be 55 years old. Just feels like I just graduated high school. It's crazy. Students, hear me. You think school drags on? It does. It does. But once you graduate, every day goes faster and faster and faster. Believe me, it does. Am I wrong, adults? It goes by so fast. Students, from the youngest to the oldest, I want you to all hear me. Life goes fast. Life is a vapor. It's a mist, right? It's a mist. What are we doing with our dash? Again, are we living with purpose or are we drifting through life? Are you making an eternal impact or simply chasing things that won't last? Are you building a legacy that honors God and blesses others, or are we just living for ourselves? I need a couple helpers. A couple helpers. Jace, you guys come here, real quick. Come here. You guys get to be my helpers. You guys are awesome. All right. Jace, I want you to take this. Okay, come here, buddy. Come here. I want you to hold this all the way to the cabinets, all the way. Keep going. Hold that right there. Keep going. What great helpers. Go ahead, take it into the kitchen. Go over the counter. It's okay, I won't tell your mom. You can climb on the counter one time. There you go. Shh. Don't tell your mom. She won't know. Okay, lay it down right there. Shh. What? No such things. Cool. Thank you. Okay, come on back in here. Leave it there. Whose kid are you? All right. This tape measure represents eternity. Right? Eternity. And I put this on here. This little red section right here represents our dash. Now, Google says that the average lifespan of a human in the United States is 77.6 years. That made me depressed because I'm two-thirds of the way there. So let's go 90. Say, let's be optimistic and say our average life is 90. You good with that? I'll be happy to make 90. If I'd have thought I'd have lived this long, I'd have took way better care of myself. So I'm going to give myself 90. I'm going to be optimistic. So this is eternity. Look at it all the way, eternity. Stretches on forever. This little red dot. So this part represents history from the beginning. Okay, probably a little longer. I didn't count lines, right? But this little red space right here represents your 90 years on this planet. Picking up what I'm throwing down? 90 years. In the grand scheme of eternity, stop. In the grand scheme of it, jumped at me. You saw it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that ain't very much, is it? It's just a speck in eternity. We're going to leave that out there. 90 years. It's so small in regards to eternity. But every decision, every relationship, every choice, every word, everything is right there. That's our dash. That's our life. When you think about, and I've been on this planet 55 years, it seems so long, but it's not. And I don't know if you guys could understand Toby Mac's little rap in that song, but this is the part that really wrecks me, because life is in the trenches, not from the stands in our lofty benches with manicured hands. I want a dash that's dirty, a life fully spent, weathered and scarred from all the life that I lived. The times that we go out of our way to paint beautiful blue over somebody's gray. when we've stopped to defend injustice or sanded the heart of a friend that got rusted. Man, think about that. That's a picture of a life that matters, right? They made it. Their life was poured out for others, a life that leaves behind more than just memories. It leaves a mark. And he continues and says, I don't know my number or years that I'll pass from this cold world into the kingdom that lasts. But carpe diem, it's worth it to live it, not blur it. Or years could fly by and you still ain't met purpose. That section is a twofold section. It's a warning and it's also an invitation, right? It's easy. We all are guilty of this. It's so easy for us to just let the years slip by without ever truly living. Charity and I were talking just on the plane coming back, or the drive coming back from the airport yesterday, of how many people in this world don't even know who they truly are as a person, right? You are so-and-so's daughter or so-and-so's son, and then you get into school and you're defined by your academics or your athleticism, and then you keep doing that piece, and then you get out, and then you get married, and then you're husband and wife, and then you have kids, and they rule your world for 18, 24, 38 years of life. And then you truly find yourself as a couple and as an individual person, who am I really? And we think that we have been intentional and we think that we've done this, but life just slips by. But the good news is this, church family, is this. Right now, you are riding your dash. Right now. As you sit here, as you come into this place, as you leave this place, you are riding your dash. With every decision that you make, every conversation that you have, every act of kindness, you're shaping the story of your life and how it's being told. You don't have to have all the answers. Praise God. But you need to be intentional. We need to learn how to love well, how to serve faithfully, and how to chase purpose. Leaving something behind that will echo in all of eternity. There's a scripture. This is our first Biblehead challenge. Where's my Biblehead kids? Come on. Pastor Dave loves to give out candy so we can get you all sugared up and send you home. Don't let my kids win. Actually, we live on a farm. I'll just kick them out of the house. Go play. All right. You guys ready? So pre-K to fourth grade, Biblehead. That's New Life Kids. Here it is. First one, Psalm 90, verse 12. First boy, first girl. Psalm 90, verse 12. First boy, first girl, first boy, first girl. You got to put it up on your head. Put it up on your head. Go ahead, go ahead. Boom, got the first girl. First boy, boom, we got the first boy right here. I'm going to let the girl choose. Which one is that? Ooh, good choice. There we go. Okay, so let's go another boy. Charity said, Oh, was it Jace? Okay, here. There you go. Dad tax. I get dad tax. You guys know what dad tax is? Nope, you got that one, pal. Here it is. So this is what it says. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days. Do I have that up there? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. King David reminds us in this verse that life is short and that the way we live our lives matters. We are to number our days. According to Google, we have 77.6 years. We're going to give us 90 because I'm optimistic. Every choice, every kind word, every unkind word, every moment spent with God and with others builds our dash. The tape measure, that segment. I'm going to see if I can get that to be up here. See if I can get that to stay. Probably not. Here, I got an idea. What if I use my water? It'll probably fall. I'm trying. There it is. Can you guys see that sort of? There. I don't need no water. That segment is so small compared to eternity. So small. But it's so huge when you think about all the decisions that you have made up to this point, and all the decisions that you're going to make, and all the love, and all the service, and all the impact that you can have in that time. It's huge. It's a picture of eternity. Think about it like this. Think about it, planting a tree. Last week, we had the picture of the redwoods, right? The sequoias, the big old 200, 300 foot, right? But it started with a seed, right? And then you plant it, and over time, it begins to grow. And it grows taller and taller, and branches and leaves, and it grows. I got a helper. And it provides shade, and it brings beauty, and if it's a fruit tree, it gives you fruit. Those are good things. Our dash is like a tree. It might feel small, but the impact living fully can cast far beyond our years. Far beyond our years. Okay, where's my kids? New Life kids? All kids. I want you to stand up where you're at. Stand up. You're going to help me. Just stand up. This is a chance for you to be proud. Stand up. You guys aren't be all cool. I'm coming down. Stand up. Don't be afraid. Stand up. Chickens. There we go. Is all kids standing? All of you? Okay, here's what I want you to do. Hey, Lennox, you guys stand up. You too, Craig. You're a kid. You're just a really big kid. Don't be a chicken. Stand up. Represent. Where's Calvin? Calvin, stand up. I want to see that beautiful hair. Stand up. Craig, now you got to stand up too. There we go. All right, here's what I want us to do, right? On the count of three, I want you as loud as you can to say, my dash matters, okay? On the count of three, loud, okay? Wyatt, stand back up. There we go. On the count of three, you ready? One, two, three. Say it again.
My dash matters.
You can wave your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. One more time.
My dash matters.
That's right. Your dash matters. Listen to me, New Life kids and teenagers. Don't wait for a perfect time. Right? There is no perfect time. Your dash matters. No perfect time to live intentionally, just live intentionally. You're not too young to grab a hold of this. You understand? If you understand, say, uh-huh. Oh, folk. I want you all to stand if you can. Use the chair. Anybody over 40, you're my old folk. Ho, ho, ho. Come on. If you're a guest, we're interactive. On the count of three, I want you to say the same thing. My dash matters. Ready? One, two, three.
My dash matters.
One more time, like you really mean it.
My dash matters.
Yes. Sit down. Okay, everybody else. All you youngins, the 18 to 39, stand up. Stand up. Come on. Don't be chickens. Stand up. Stand up. Come on, stand up. Here it is. You get your chance. What? No way. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three. My dash matters. Come on. One, two, three. Come on, you can do better than the kids. Come on. One, two, three. There you go. Have a seat. Give yourselves a round of applause, all of you. Your dash matters. My dash matters. Hear me. From the youngest to the oldest, don't wait for the perfect time to make a difference. Don't wait for the perfect time to live intentionally. Your dash matters. Your dash is happening now. In ordinary moments, in small decisions, in unseen acts of love, you are writing your dash. Your dash can create ripples in families, in neighborhoods, in workplaces, and even communities that you've never, ever met. Your dash matters. Living with purpose, a dirty, full, spent dash. Let's go back to Toby Mac's part again. He sings, because real life's in the trenches, not from the stands. Did you know, maybe you don't know, being part of the Christian faith, being a Christian, makes you part of the team. It's not a spectator sport, right? It's a participation, right? You're a player in this game. You're not sitting in the stands, in the lofty benches with manicured hands. Life was never meant to be played safe. It wasn't meant to play safe. That isn't how God created us. It's in the trenches. It's in the messy moments. It's in standing in for justice for the weaker person, in loving people, even when it's hard. In defending the weak, in pouring ourselves out. Those lyrics reminded me of a couple of scriptures, and these are two in a row, and they're both Bible head challenges. So listen this out. This first one is this. You guys ready, kids? Here it is. Here it is, here it is. Here, I got two more big old candy bars. I got a Kit Kat and a Musketeers. All for one, and one for all. Here it is. Ready? Okay, first one is this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. If you've won already, you can't win again. Colossians 3, 23. First boy, first girl. Ooh, got the first girl right there. Is there a boy? Is there a boy? Come on, come on, boys. Girls rule, boys drool. At least that's what they tell me. I don't know. Got a boy? All right, hold on. I'll be right back. I got you. Which one was it? All right, there we go. Here we go. Coming in hot. You ready? Oh, man. If you don't catch it, you got to give it to your dad. The dads, do you know that there's such a thing as a dad tax? Can I get a big amen? Do we use our dad? Yeah. I love dad tax. All right. This is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, 23. It says, whatever you do, everybody say, whatever you do. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Everybody say, as working for the Lord.
As working for the Lord.
Not for human masters. You guys are good. Paul's saying, it doesn't matter what you do. Whatever it is that you do, work at it as you're working unto the Lord. That just changes the dynamic, doesn't it? When we do things lackadaisical and mediocre and we just do it, it's like, I don't like doing this, I'm going to do it anyway. Paul's challenging us to say, that dog don't hunt. When you're doing something, you do it as unto the Lord. Because if you're giving your spare change and your mediocre effort to the Lord, I don't know about you, but I'd be ashamed. He's worthy of our excellence. He's worthy of the best. Amen? Next Bible head challenge. Here we go. If you won already, you can't win again. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. All right. Getting all saucy. All right. You ready? Romans 12, 2. First boy, first girl. First boy, first girl. Romans 12, boom. First boy, I need a girl. I need a girl. Hurry, 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 hurry. You're not a girl. Got a boy, need a girl. Need a girl. Where are my girls at? Come on now. Yeah, you're too old. You're old, Carrington. You old codger. Where's another? Come on. Boom, got a girl. Okay, which one would you like? Oh, right on. Here it is, coming in hot. Nice, he's got hands. Way to go. All right, what does it say? Romans 12, 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be, what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Not being transformed. Not following what the world says and does, right? We're Christians. Christ followers called to not conform to society and to the world, to be separate, to be different, to follow Jesus. Here's a parable in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 that is amazing. The parable of the talents. You guys familiar with that? And Jesus tells the story of servants that are entrusted with talents. Two of these guys invested their talents and multiplied them. One buried his out of fear. And when the master returned, the faithful servants, they invested and then multiplied their talents, were rewarded. And the one who played it safe was rebuked. He wasn't just rebuked. The master said, away from me, you evil servant. Now, talents, it isn't about money. I need you to hear me today. It's not about money, right? I said earlier that God has given us every day as a gift, right? God has entrusted each of us with time, with energy, with abilities, with and even influence. And a fully spent dash is like those faithful servants stepping into the trenches, risking love and giving courageously and pouring out our life to the kingdom of God. God gave every one of us time, abilities, and energy for the kingdom of God. Not for selfish means. To expand the kingdom and glorify his name. That is why we were given talents. And some of us, like me, are given one talent. And some of y'all are giving five, three and five talents. And it's what you do with it that matters. That's the dash. You picking up what I'm throwing down? How are you spending your talents for the kingdom of God and glorifying Jesus? How are you spending them? I think of farmers in this past harvest. I was thinking about this. When farmers from the crack of dawn until the sun disappears, they're in the fields, they're checking their crops, they're repairing fences. And if you're a rancher, you're taking care of livestock and preparing the next season and all of these things. And some days the heat is brutal. It's back-breaking efforts that produces something beautiful. It's called a harvest, right? That's a beautiful picture of what God expects of all of us. And farmers don't quit. Day after day, they're pouring sweat and strength and all of these things in to a harvest. And it leaves a legacy that outlives the farmer. And in the same way, a life fully spent, a dash of our life that it's not supposed to be neat and tidy and protected and put up on a china closet or any of that stuff, right? It's about spending our lives. It's about pouring it out. It's dirty, it's costly, and it's demanding, but it's also abundant and faithful and fruitful and eternity when we live in God. It has a ripple effect. So let me ask you, are you playing it safe and comfortable, or are you willing to get your hands dirty for the sake of the kingdom of God? Pouring out our lives, Paul refers to it as like a drink offering. You see, our dash isn't just about what we accumulate in life or how comfortable that we can make ourselves. Well, if you don't like it, just say it. Man, you don't have to get all that way about it. And now I see spots. Don't check out Google for that. You probably have cancer. Right? It's about what we pour out for God's glory. Scripture uses a vivid image for this. The drink offering. In the Old Testament, a drink offering was wine poured out on the altar as an act of worship. A way of saying, God, everything that I have is yours. Everything. How easy it is for us to forget that everything we have is his. We're like, no, it's mine. I worked for it. I paid for it. It's mine. Well, who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you the body and the brain to be able to function? Who gave you the job? Everything we have, our health, our intellect, our emotions, our stuff is God's. And what the Old Testament understood, they understood that very well, and they would pour out these drink offerings. Paul picks up that imagery in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, when he says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Paul knew that his life wasn't his own. He knew it. The disciples understood this. Paul saw every ounce of his time, every ounce of his energy, his suffering, even his eventual death as something that he could pour out in worship to Jesus. Everything. And we spend our entire life trying to build something to make it more comfortable for ourselves and our families. Everything. Paul, Romans 12:1 gives us the same call as Paul. Therefore, Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What's Paul saying? He's saying that we were put on this planet not for selfish reasons. We were put on this planet to pour out our lives for the sake of God's kingdom. The dash, the line between our first breath and our last, isn't some fragile trophy or to, you know, to protect or to keep pristine. It's a countdown. I've said this before. There is a clock ticking, family. It's ticking backwards. For when God comes back for his church. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believeth would not perish but have everlasting eternal life. He wants no one to perish, right? None. And we are so happy in the United States to preach Jesus is love. Jesus is love. His grace is everlasting. His grace, grace, grace. Yes, he's all those things, but he's also a just God. He's just. And there will be a day that we will all stand in front of Jesus and give an account of our dash. And I'm not meaning this to be all scary and boo-hoo, doomsday. It's just the truth. It's in Scripture. And here's more truth for you. When we stand, when that day comes, there'll be some of you standing in front of Jesus, and he'll say, what did you do with your dash? Well, God, I did this in your name, and I did this in your name, and I did this in your name, and didn't I cast out demons, and didn't I pray for my neighbor, and didn't I invite people to church, didn't I? And he'll say, depart from me. I knew you not. My biggest fear as a pastor is that one day I won't see you in heaven. But pastor, I'm a Christian. Calling yourself a Christian and coming to church every Sunday or every two Sundays, because that's the church norm in the United States now. If I go to church two Sundays a month, then I'm committed. You know, up on my soapbox, I'm sorry. But I'm committed for Sunday. But I'm going to live for myself Monday through Saturday. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to drink. I'm going to do whatever it is for me. But I'm a Christian because I said a prayer. Jesus said, no, that isn't enough. Paul says that salvation, and Jesus says both, that salvation is a free gift, right? But the wages of sin is what? Death. You can't say a prayer and then live your life like the devil for the rest of the life because you said a prayer one time. That dog don't hunt. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, should I keep on sinning that grace may abound? By no means. We have got to chase righteousness and holiness. We've got to chase purpose and live intentionally to glorify God with our lives, with our minds, with our voices, with everything, and to build the kingdom of God. That's what Paul is saying in Romans 12:1. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, to offer your dash as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It's a countdown, family. And every second of that countdown is begging to be used, broken, and spent for the kingdom of God. This isn't about preservation. It's about participation. It's a gift that we were all meant to spend fully, not carefully, not cautiously, but completely. We're here to live loud, to love hard, and leave this planet empty because we gave everything that we had to something that mattered, that something was bigger than us, and that's the kingdom of God. And when we live this way, holding nothing back, we find the greatest joy because we're stepping into the very purpose God made for us. The very, very purpose. And here's the thing, pouring out your life doesn't happen by accident. You don't drift into a life of sacrifice. You don't trip and stumble into a life of purpose and sacrifice. You don't stumble into faithfulness. It's a result of daily choices. From the youngest to the oldest in this building, choices. It's choices. Choices shape your dash. Every single choice you make is riding on the line of your dash. You don't get to choose the start date or the end date or the tombstone for that matter, unless you plan ahead and your family can still say, that's dumb, I'm going to do it different. Because we don't care, we don't know. But you do get to choose what fills the dash in between those dates. Crowder puts it this way, every breath, every step, let it count. And he's right, because life isn't lived in the bleachers. It's lived in the trenches. It's lived in the hundreds upon hundreds of decisions you and I make every single day. Paul says it clearly in Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? By the word of God. The word of God transforms our life by being in the word of God and allowing him to transform the very way that you think. Then it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, again, your choices shape you. They shape your future and they shape your impact. That 90-year tape that we've been talking about, that we see right here on the floor, that little segment of red, your dash, is where your story's written. And here's the thing, it's not just about the big decisions, right? That matter. They're big. You know, the biggest decision you can ever make is surrendering your life to Jesus. That is the biggest decision you'll ever make and the best decision you'll ever make. But all the big decisions, they matter, but that's not all about that. It's the small ones. One act of obedience. One kind word when you'd rather lash out. One brave step of faith when fear says, nah, play it safe. Play it safe. Those choices ripple through eternity. Years ago, I heard about a woman. I actually knew this woman. Her name was Clara. So, no, Clara was not famous. She wasn't a preacher. She wasn't a missionary. She was just a neighbor who decided that every kid on her street would know that they were loved. So she baked cookies. She listened to their stories and prayed for them by name. Seems small, seems insignificant, right? But decades later, at Clara's funeral, person after person after person stood up and said, I'm walking with Jesus today because Miss Clara cared enough to choose love day after day. That's the power of small, daily, intentional choices. They shape your dash, and your dash shapes eternity. What does this look like? Choosing love over resentment. Service over selfishness and faith over fear. Because every choice counts, right? And your dash is telling a story that will outlive you. Which brings us to the last truth about leaving a legacy. Our dash is not just about us. It's for eternity. Will it reflect distractions and regrets? Or God's grace, love, and kingdom impact? Okay, last Biblehead challenge. Last one. Teenagers, I've got you in this one too. I got one candy bar for the first teenager. That's fifth grade and up. So you're not necessarily a teenager, but fifth grade and up. Ready? So first boy, first girl, and first fifth grader and up to high school age. Cool? Adults, sorry. One of these days I'm going to surprise you and I'm going to put you guys on test too. Here it is. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, 16. First boy, first girl, first older kid. Do, 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 do. Boom. Right, first, the teenager. Which one do you want? I'm going to let you choose. Okay. Now, Hank, keep that spot. Okay, you're going to help me. Where is it? Girl and boy. Well, you're over 50. We already got one. Sorry. But, hey, proud of you, though. Got a boy here and a girl here. Okay, which one do you want? Milky Way, coming in hot. Let it hit your dad. There it is. Dad tax. All right, Carrington, how brave are you? Can you stand up, face the family, and read that really loud? Boom, give her a round. Carrington, who said that?
Jesus.
Jesus. Red letters. Jesus said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's go back to the tape measure again. Eternity, right? Stretches forever, right? Endless. But your 90 years, your 90 years, right there. How does that make you feel that your life is wrapped up in that? But in the grand scheme of eternity, your segment was meant, still got, was meant to shine. You weren't meant to just coast. You weren't meant just to exist. You were meant to shine. And not just shine, but to shine brightly, influencing lives and leaving a legacy that echoes far beyond your years. Think about that for a minute. Your little segment, your dash, you were meant to shine brightly. You were meant to influence those around you. You were meant to leave a mark that echoes through eternity. Let me wrap up this morning. Eternity stretches on and on. Your life, your 70 year, 80 year, maybe 90 year, is just a slice. But that slice, that dash, is where God is at work right now. I want to close by telling you another story about a man named Jim. Again, Jim wasn't famous. He never stood on a stage, wrote a book or a song, but Jim quietly poured into people, mentoring a few young men, showing up when people were in need, serving faithfully in his little church. And again, at his funeral, was standing room only. The room was packed. One by one, people stood and shared how Jim's faith, his kindness, and his words had changed the trajectory of their lives. One man even said, "If it wasn't for Jim, I would not be serving Jesus today." Jim's dash didn't look flashy. It wasn't flamboyant, but it was full. It was full. When we think of being a person of significance or of impact, we tend to go right to the big things, right? Thomas Edison, he was a person of impact. Albert Einstein, person of impact, great significance. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. However, you can name a bazillion people that's our imagery of significance. And it is. It's echoed through history, but will echo through eternity. You and I are called to live fully. Called to love deeply, and we're called to pour ourselves out for Jesus. And when it's all said and done, may your dash count, not just for today, but for all eternity. So when we stand in front of Jesus himself, we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's my prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your gift of life, for every breath, every step, every moment that makes up our dash. Forgive us for the times we've wasted it. on lesser things. Forgive us for coasting. Forgive us for living selfishly. Today, we offer ourselves to you. Teach us to number our days, God, and to live with eternity in view. Give us the courage to pour out our lives like a drink offering for your glory and for the good of others. Help us say yes to what matters most and no to the distractions that pull us away from you. Lord, we don't want to drift through life. We want to leave a legacy of faith, love, and obedience. God, use our words, our choices, our talents, our time, everything for you, because they're yours and for your kingdom. God, remind us that even the smallest acts of faith, quietest prayer, the simplest kindness carries eternal weight in your hands. So here and now, God, we surrender our dash to you. May it be fully spent for Jesus. And may it ripple and echo through eternity. And we pray this in your mighty Son's name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen.